الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه صدق الله العظيم respected ulama elders and brothers in the ayat which I have recited Allah Ta'ala has spoken about and Allah has used the word sidq and I thought that today I will speak about this attribute and elaborate on this word normally we translate the word sidq in English as truthfulness and honesty Although from the Islamic perspective, the word sidq has a much more wider implication and meaning. And therefore we find that the attribute and the station known as siddiq is an attribute that is only beneath the station and rank of nabuwat. Therefore we say Abu Bakr as-siddiq. He is Siddiq. And Siddiq is a rank which is also above the rank of Shaheed. مِنَ الْمَيُّتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى And in this definition, Siddiq will not only be the one who is truthful in speech, but the one who will be truthful in his speech, in his conduct, in his internal self, and there will be no dichotomy and difference between his internal self and his outer self. And some ulama have also made mention that Siddiq is one who becomes so truthful that truthful becomes his second nature. Nevertheless, the word sidq is a very important concept and attribute in our Sharia. Ulama have further written that there are three different categories and manifestation of the word siddiq. One is to be truthful and honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the ayat says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ Amongst human beings, amongst the believers, there are those who are truthful with the covenant they made with Allah. So Allah ta'ala took a covenant from us that we will comply with the commands of Allah. إِنَّا عَرَضَنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ Allah presented this trust of complying with the commands of Allah to the heavens and earth. They were unable to fulfill it. Human being took over the responsibility. We will comply with the commands of Allah. Now it is truthfulness to Allah means you will comply with that covenant you made with Allah. Therefore Allah says, amongst the believers there are those who are truthful in fulfilling their covenant with Allah. One is to be honest with yourself. Now, we can give a definition, but just to give an example to explain how to be honest with yourself. And that is when in Ramadan we have an opportunity to go against the commands of Allah. During the course of the day we are told to fast. There are many opportunities and occasions you can, in silence and away from the gaze of people, go and eat or have a glass of water. But there you need honesty with yourself that you will not do something that will go against the commands of Allah. You are honest. It is an internal honesty. It is also sometimes referred to as your inner conscience. And of course, part of it is you will not do in private what you'd be afraid to do in front of others. We're not talking about natural traits, but we're talking about moral attributes. You will not do something in private that you will not do in front of other people. They say a person who does in private what he will not do in front of other people does not respect himself. So the second aspect of truthfulness is to be honest with your own self. But there is no doubt that the greatest manifestation of truth is in our interaction with other people. And this is where truthfulness and honesty finds its greatest manifestation and it is required the most. And in this, it remains one of the greatest attributes and one of the most emphasized qualities in our Sharia, and for various reasons. One of the reasons, I will just make mention of two. And one of them is, no attribute can guarantee social stability, and no attribute can guarantee confidence amongst people like truthfulness and honesty. Through it, right is established. Through it, people have trust in one another. And this is a very, very great favor. Prosperity flows from such confidence people have in one another. Prosperity flows from such confidence people have in one another. There is no attribute and no quality that can guarantee social stability, confidence amongst people, trust amongst people, than the quality of truthfulness and honesty. And that is why in our Sharia, there is such great emphasis with regard to it. Our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, أَرْبَعٌ إِذَا كُنَّ فِيكَ فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. If you have four qualities, then it doesn't matter if you have nothing else of this material world. If you have four qualities, it doesn't matter if you have nothing else of this material world. Hifzu amanatin, you have your fulfillment of your trust, truthfulness in speech, wa husnu khaliqatin, good conduct and good character, and iffatun fi tu'mihi, and you have independence in your sustenance. Therefore Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, taharru sidq, taharru sidq, wa in ra'aytum anna al-halakata fihi fa inna fihi an-najat. Pursue the truth. Even if you feel that the truth will put you in difficulty, then also pursue it. Because in truth, there is salvation. So one of the aspects, and let me just say this again, one of the aspects with regard to truth, it guarantees confidence amongst people, it rectifies the affairs of people, and it creates trust amongst people. It is in these qualities that prosperity flows in a community and a society. That's one of the fundamental and one of the greatest qualities and benefits of truth. The other great quality and other great benefit with regard to truth is this, that it is the basis not only in itself of being a good trait, but it leads to goodness in other fields. So therefore we find the hadith, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Look at the beautiful way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's expression. Take truthfulness and honesty, make it compulsory upon you. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. Not only is it good in itself, it leads to goodness in other matters also. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي. Truthfulness, honesty will lead to righteousness. Righteousness will lead towards Jannah. Look at the beautiful way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained it. Be truthful and honest. Honesty leads to righteousness. Righteousness leads towards Jannah. So I've just made mention on the emphasis on truthfulness and honesty and two important benefits of it. Through it, it guarantees social stability, it brings about confidence amongst people, it brings about trust in people, and it creates the right ingredient for the social stability and of the community and the society. In fact, I would say it is a most important pillar for the moral stability of the entire world and the entire community and humanity. Right now, just take these two qualities which I have emphasized with regard to truthfulness and honesty, and then let us look at the opposite of it. And we all know that dishonesty, lying, and being untrustworthy is amongst the qualities which Allah and His Rasul has greatly warned us. Amongst its many other harms, just as truthfulness guarantees the stability of society and creates confidence and trust amongst people, dishonesty disrupts the confidence between people, the shrubs, the trust people are supposed to have in one another, and it creates and it confuses the affairs of people. Now, why I say it creates and it confuses the affairs of people, you and I, we need the trust of people to be able to survive and to do our daily work. How many times you find yourself, you are, many of us, of course, in a business community. How many times the retailer will phone the wholesaler, I need this urgently, please send it to me. Now, it is based on trust. I need this, you send it, I will give you the money in time to come. Right? Now, just imagine that when truthfulness and honesty no more plays a role, and it is no more common, and then actually what happens, these type of transactions that we have that are based on trust, they fall away. People will be hesitant to get into this type of transaction because of honesty not becoming common amongst people. So one of the greatest tragedies with regard to the lack of honesty and trustworthiness in the community and society is it confuses the affairs of people, trust and confidence become a rarity, and because of that, you know, normal transactions which are supposed to happen, which leads to the prosperity of the society and community, becomes something that people stay away from. And this, as I said, is such a great tragedy because of truthfulness and honesty becoming something that is no more as it used to be. Today we find the lack of trust amongst people. Business partners do not trust one another. Sometimes even parents do not trust their children and vice versa. Brothers do not trust one another. Why? Because of this lack of this great quality, which has led to the confusion of the affairs of people. Then another important aspect with regard to it is, just as truthfulness and honesty leads towards righteousness, dishonesty leads towards evil. There is no evil a person will not do if he is accustomed to lying. Therefore, look at the hadith, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكِذْبِ فَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Stay away from lying and dishonesty. Dishonesty and lying leads towards evil, and evil leads towards Jahannam. Therefore, Nabi Karim SAW was one day asked, Safwan bin Sulaym said, a person came in the company of Nabi Karim SAW and said, Ya Rasulullah, is it possible for a mu'min to be a coward? Nabi SAW said, it's not a good quality, but it is possible. أَيَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَخِيلًا Ya Rasulullah, is it possible for a believer to be a miser? Nabi Karim SAW said, it is not a good quality, but a mu'min is a human being. Human beings have certain flaws. And as a mu'min, it is possible that sometimes he can be a miser. And Nabi Karim SAW was asked, أَيَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنُ كَذَّابًا Is it possible for a believer to be a liar? Nabi Karim SAW said, it is never possible for a mu'min and a believer to be a liar. Ulama have written that all other attributes, all other bad attributes, it impacts upon one aspect of your character. But ulama have written that lying is such an attribute, and trust and dishonesty is such an evil that it impacts upon your entire character. So therefore, Nabi Karim SAW said, it's possible for you to be a coward. It's possible for you to be a bakhil, miser. But it's not possible for you to be a dishonest and a liar. Now, when you look at all of this, we find this is the two important benefits of trust and honesty. One is it guarantees stability of people, it guarantees the trust amongst people, and it creates and it fulfills the rights of people. And one is that honesty leads to other righteousness, which leads towards Jannat. On the other hand, let us look at dishonesty and lying. Dishonesty and lying confuses the affairs of people. It creates mistrust amongst people. When it creates mistrust amongst people, it is very difficult for a society to prosper when there is mistrust amongst people in a community and a society. And the second thing is it leads towards different types of evil, because lying is not something that is only concentrated on one aspect of your character. It covers the entire aspect of your character. Therefore, Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, truthfulness and honesty is one of the stations of the salikin, of the pursuer of the truth, which from there emanates all other stations. Now, what is the greatest lie? Let us go further in this. The ulama have written, the greatest lie is to attribute a lie to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ Those who falsely attribute something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يفلحون, they will never ever be successful. من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوع مقعده من النار. من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوع مقعده من النار. He who falsely attributes something to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam which he has not said, then he should prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. In today's time, one of the manifestations of this is a person who in the social media, he forwards and posts things which he is not aware with regard to the authenticity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, if you forward and you post something which is not authentic, you will fall under, or you could fall under the purview of this hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, falsely attributing something to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which in the words of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is worthy of you preparing your abode in the fire of Jahannam. So the worst type of lie is to lie in and referring something to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then another great aspect with regard to lying is where, and this is something where you take advantage of someone and you speak a lie. Where honesty is required. Where honesty is required. And there you do something which is dishonest. That particular aspect becomes even more severe in the words of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore in one hadith Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kaburat khiyana." It is a worst form of violation of trust. Where someone comes to you, he trusts you, and you take advantage of the trust that he has got on you, and you speak lie towards him. And you violate the trust that he has upon you. A person comes to you in good spirit, and he has got full confidence in you. He's got trust in you. He comes to you and said, "I'm going to do a business transaction with you," feeling that you are honest. He looks upon whatever he thinks, "No, this person has got a good reputation, let me do." And you take advantage of the trust that he's got upon you, and then you let him down. Nabi Karim Sawasam said, it is a worse form of dishonesty and the worst form of the violation of trust. So sometimes when, for example, in business, you expect a businessman to do business with you in a righteous way, with honesty, and then you take advantage of that and you go against it. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also then specifically made mention with regard to certain forms of dishonesty. For example, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has even went to this particular extent that it is even, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is wrong, it will be regarded as a guna that you say something in lie, in jest, or to appease a small child. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day saw a small woman who was enticing a child to come towards it by saying, "I got something for you." So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the woman, "Do you really have something that you are giving, going to give the child, or you are just enticing it falsely? Enticing the child falsely." The woman said, "Ya Rasulullah, I do have something." Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Very fortunate. Otherwise, if you had not had something and you would have appeased, only done something to appease the child to come to you falsely, it would have been written as a lie." This is the emphasis that Islam has placed upon truthfulness and honesty, that even in enticing a child, you are not supposed to act in a dishonest or an untruthful manner, or in a manner that is deceptive. Now these are some of the aspects that we can go on. And today, of course, we have different manifestation of dishonesty and lies. Today there are different manifestation of dishonesty and lies. For example, jeopoing electricity lines. So you, for the sake of bringing down your electricity bill, you go and jeopo the lines, or you do something to bring down the electricity bill. That is dishonesty. It is all the guna and sin that has been sounded in the Quran and Hadith that will come upon you by doing such a thing. This is of course a new manifestation with regard to it. And we can't get away with it that everyone is doing it, or people from a particular area is doing it, or someone from a particular class is doing it. If they do something wrong, two wrongs have never made a right. Then another manifestation with regard to it is taking false certificate, whether it be a medical certificate or different type of certificate which is done, which is not based on truth. That is also another form of modern day dishonesty and lies. And of course, another way with regard to it is that through the means of getting tenders. If you have to do something dishonest, or you have to say something against the truth, or you have to do something that is not according to what the reality is, to get a deal or to get a tender, it will be a modern form of dishonesty. And all the warnings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sounded would fall upon you. Ala la'natullahi ala al-kathibin. Allah's curses be upon the person who is a liar. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there are three signs of a munafiq and a hypocrite. One of them is when a person speaks, he speaks a lie. Now when we look at this in history, we found Muslims have always been amongst those who are known for their truthfulness and honesty. When our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started off his nabuwat, you would recall, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the people on the Mount of Safa. And when he called the people on the Mount of Safa, he asked them a question. O people of Makkah, if I were to ask you the question and tell you that behind this mountain there is an army, would you accept what I'm saying? They said, halwa, you know, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I spent 40 years of my life amongst you. Hal wajadtumuni sadiqan am kadhiba? In this 40 years of life, did you find me to be truthful or otherwise? And everyone in unison said, 40 years which we had experience and we had transaction with you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, O Muhammad. And we never ever saw you ever speaking lies. If ever you are going to do a work of da'wat and deen, then the first aspect is to establish yourself as a man of honesty and integrity. If you cannot establish yourself as a man of honesty and integrity, or as a community of honesty and integrity, your da'wah will not be effective. That is the reason why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first established his credential as a person of honesty and trustworthiness. And then he told them, what did they tell them? Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of our great scholars, when he came to South Africa, many times I heard him saying in his bayan, he said when we were small, if any time a Muslim had to speak lies, he said, never mind Muslims, non-Muslims used to taunt us. Musalman hokar jhoot bolta hai. Being a Muslim, you speak lies. In pre-partition time, there was a very amazing incident. The incident was, you know, there was a piece of land. And it became a great matter of debate and great matter of emotion and pride. The non-Muslim said, it is our land. The Muslim said, it is our land. He's here, they were going to put a masjid. So the court called upon one of the saintly people of the area. I think his name was subject to correction, Mona Muzaffar Hussain Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali. And he was called in court to give his view with regard to this land. And when he came there, he said, I don't know whether this land belonged to or not. This land is not the land of the masjid. It is not the land of the masjid. Now Muslims had hyped themselves up in that particular dispute and argument. And when he gave this evidence, obviously, that particular judgment went against the Muslims. And the Muslims were very angry with a saintly person. But of course, when he came out of there, the non-Muslims, because this had become such a great hype, it had become such a great issue of debate and honor and pride, that many of them said, they came to the Muslims and said, we never expected a saintly person from your community to say these words of truth. And someone had said, they said, thou take this land and make a masjid. And someone had said, in this particular regard, they said, Maulana acted in such a way, Muslims lost but Islam won. In today's time, my dear respected elders and brothers, we have to keep in mind there are two aspects. One is our ibadat. Our ibadat requires certain essential attributes. Right? And those attributes are something that is very important. We have to adhere to that, we have to strive towards it. But in terms of a community and a society, in terms of the stability of the community and the society, in terms of the prosperity of the community and the society, in terms of attributes that anchor for the better a community and society, there are certain essential attributes. Those attributes are not going to be fulfilled, and the community is not going to be anchored and not going to become stabilized by our ibadat. Our ibadat, we need it for our own self, and we need it to come closer towards Almighty Allah. But ibadat itself will not stabilize the community. There are many attributes that you and I today are engaged in, which causes harm to the development and the prosperity of the community and society. Hatred, jealousy. These are aspects that, of course, together with its spiritual harms, also harm the community and the society. And amongst those that causes one of the greatest harms to the community and society is that of dishonesty and lies. So let me just, you know, conclude. In conclusion, let me say where I started off from. I said, we're starting off on the aspect of sidq. There are three aspects of sidq. One is to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I have defined. One is to be honest with ourselves, and one is to be honest with people. It is in this where we find the greatest manifestation of truthfulness and honesty. Honesty brings about two important, very important benefits. One is, it creates stability amongst the community. It creates confidence and trust amongst people. The second thing is, it is the basis of many other righteous deeds. And I gave the relevant hadith. Then the opposite of that, lies and dishonesty, together with his other spiritual harms, causes two very great harms in our community. One is, it confuses the affairs of people. People no more trust in one another. When you don't have trust amongst people, it harms the prosperity and the growth of the community and the society. And the second thing is, dishonesty and lies leads to many other evils. Part of that evil, you have to say 10 lies to protect the one lie that we have spoken. And then I gave certain manifestations with regard to it in the age and era that we are living in South Africa, where dishonesty, corruption has become a daily feature in our media. We all know the state capture report and the state capture commission that is going on. Here is an ideal opportunity for Muslims in whichever field they are in the business field, that they can show and showcase the honesty and integrity and the trustworthiness Islam has emphasized upon us. In this way, we can raise above what the corruption is prevalent in today's time to be able to showcase in this particular regard what Islam has taught us. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and make an amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.